السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but one God and that Muhammad is his messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of his prophets and messengers, including Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and his final and beloved messenger, the seal of the prophets, Muhammad. And his pure family and righteous companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran in chapter number 21, Surah Al-Anbiya, the Prophets, verse 107, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, Muhammad, except as a mercy to the worlds. Amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. I'd like to begin tonight, dear brothers and sisters, dear guests, by congratulating you all on the auspicious occasion of the birth of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It gives me great pleasure and honor to welcome you all to the Islamic Educational Center of Orange County, especially those who are here for the first time. Thank you for coming. And to also our returning guests, thank you for making the time to come. And I'd like to extend a special thank you to our respected guests who have joined us. I know they're very busy. Mr. Lee Wiseman, he's been here before. He's a familiar face. Thank you for coming, of course, Professor Sherman Jackson and his wife who are here. Thank you. And Steve Gilliland and his wife, who are always, always ready to participate in our events. And so thank you all, and especially the rest of the guests who have come here tonight. Thank you very much for coming. We have the privilege of having special guests with us, and we will benefit from them, so I won't take up too much of your time. We will benefit from their insights and wisdom tonight, inshallah. And I'm sure that all of you will benefit greatly from their presence. If for some reason or another you don't benefit, we promise that we'll try to make it up with good dinner at the end of the program, inshallah. So, the tradition of the Islamic Educational Center of Orange County has been to celebrate the anniversary of the birth of the Holy Prophet as an inter- and intra-faith event. Many of you know that over the past few years, we've had various scholars, we've been honored to host various scholars, community and religious leaders, and activists from various schools of thought and among the various religious traditions who have come together so that we can celebrate together this auspicious occasion. And the reason for this is quite simple. The reason is because the figure, the personality whom we come together to celebrate is one that has been celebrated and revered by many different groups and people throughout history and across the world. Of course, within the Muslim tradition, the Holy Prophet is loved and respected, but even outside the Islamic tradition, there are those who revere the Prophet. They look to the Prophet's personality and life and tradition as a source of inspiration for their own lives. And it is through this special personality that we find the Quran. In the Quran, God describes the Prophet, his personality, his objective, his role. He describes him in chapter 21, the chapter that I began with, the verse from chapter 21, where he says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And God has sent you, Muhammad, not save as a mercy or accept as a mercy to the entire world, لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to the worlds, to all of God's creation. Prophet Muhammad is considered, according to the Quran, is considered an embodiment of mercy to all of creation. And it really is this idea of mercy that I think the world yearns for today. We turn on the TV and we read the news, and we hear about all of the chaos that's going on in the world, the poverty and the death and destruction, all of the chaos that's going on in different parts of the world, where in many cases now, most of the time we find emphasis on division, on hatred, on enmity, on pushing people away from one another. And there is very little embodiment of mercy, compassion. Or even if it's there, it doesn't get the correct and right type of attention. And it is mercy that the world yearns for today. And this idea of mercy, I think, it can only be implemented, I think, if we're able to lay the foundations for mercy. You see, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, when we examine his life, yes, he was the embodiment of mercy, but he laid the foundations in his activities, in his interactions with people, so that he can then realize mercy. So he can actually embody mercy. He laid the foundations. And I think that it's important for us to think about how we can, as individuals and as a community, in our respect and celebration of the Holy Prophet, how we can lay the foundations so that we can also embody mercy, just as the Prophet did. And I think that the way that we can do that is by first opening up our hearts and minds to one another, and our ears to one another. Unfortunately, in many cases, we live sort of, you know, in our own routine lives, and to certain degrees we may open up to others, to interactions with others, but how many of us actually really, really open up to the possibility of getting to know the other very, very well, intimately, getting to know them? Introducing yourself, but also getting to know the other side. Not just learning about them, but learning from them. Listening to them. Opening up your doors, your spaces, your homes, your hearts to others. To listen to them, to learn from them, to get to know them. The Quran famously tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. O humankind, we have created you from a male and a female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. We've made you into nations and tribes. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. With the objective of what? Of getting to know one another. Ta'aruf is, it's a two-way process. Getting to know one another. I get to know you and you get to know me. But in order to do that, we have to be able to listen to one another. We have to be able to open up our hearts and minds to one another. And this is why it's so important, I think, that as people of faith, especially as people of faith, that we are able to promote understanding, tolerance, recognition of one another. This is why, I personally appreciate the efforts of individuals and friends like Lee Wiseman, Steve Gilliland, and others, because they actively promote interfaith respect and recognition and appreciation, that they actively appreciate one another. We'll hear some of Lee Wiseman's stories, but Lee opens up, not only is he, you know, online, not only does he possess the skills, mashallah, to interact online and draw a good source of following and spreading messages of peace and understanding online. He has several projects we'll hear about, hopefully, a little bit. But also in person. Many of you here, sitting here, have actually been to Lee's home and have shared meals with Lee. He opens up his home to whoever wills and whoever wishes. And he takes the time to get to know you. And it is through these bonds that we can really appreciate one another. It takes courage, brothers and sisters. It's very, very easy for us to dismiss one another, to turn away from one another, to close our doors in front of one another. But it takes courage and strength to be able to really open up to one another and to appreciate one another. But also, not just across religious boundaries, across religious faiths, but us also within the Muslim community, as Muslims, some of us here who adhere to the Islamic tradition. As Muslims, I think it's very important, and we will hear from our respected guest, Professor Sherman Jackson as well, on the importance of intra-faith appreciation, of getting to know one another, those who subscribe to the same religious tradition and teachings, that we get to know one another, and that we stand with one another, that we appreciate one another. The Holy Quran tells us in the verses that were beautifully recited, we began with chapter number 3, Al-Imran, verse 103. God says in the Quran, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And come together, hold on all together to the hope, to the rope of God, to the single rope of God, and do not be divided. You know, difference is natural. Difference is part and parcel of being a human being. As long as we are human beings and we interact in society, we will have differences of opinion, differences in lifestyle, differences in taste, differences in sensibilities. Differences are part and parcel of being human beings. In fact, we may even be able to make the argument that differences are divinely willed. There are some references in the Quran where God says, for instance, in chapter number 5, verse 48, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. To all of you, we have given a law and a way. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. And had God willed, God would have made you into a single nation, into a single community. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا آتَاكُمْ. But that didn't happen. And the reason is because God wants to test us with these differences. It's not differences that are bad. It is the way that these differences are employed that is bad. I've heard Professor Jackson numerous times say this statement. By the way, for those who don't know, Professor Jackson is actually my PhD advisor, so I'm trying to make a good impression on him. And for those of you who know me, and in fact, for that matter, for those of you who don't know me, if you speak to him tonight, make sure you throw in a good word. I've heard him say numerous times that Islamic law is hopelessly pluralistic. It's just designed that way. It's hopelessly pluralistic. Right. Some have also attempted to make the argument that this pluralism is not just in the sphere of Islamic law, but also in the sphere of Islamic theology, to a certain degree, even in the sphere of Islamic theology and doctrine. You know, one very interesting point to keep in mind is that within the Shi'i tradition, actually, there are two, I don't know about the Sunni tradition, but within the Shi'i tradition, there are two main sets of traditions regarding the date of the birth of the Prophet. Some suggest the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, like today, and some suggest the 17th, 5 days away, right? But within the Shi'i tradition, there are also traditions about the birth of the sixth Imam, an Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, which tell us that he was born on the 17th. So according to some traditions, the birth of al-Imam al-Sadiq, the sixth Imam, and the Prophet coincide, they come together. And if we look at the personality and the figure of al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, he was one that both throughout history and until now is revered by the various scholars and the various schools of thought within the Islamic tradition. As far as I can tell from my own readings of the biographers and the historians, anyone who's mentioned Ja'far al-Sadiq has mentioned him in a positive light. He is revered. He is revered. In fact, some traditions note that even some major scholars, even within the Sunni tradition, they studied and they related traditions from him. One primary example is that of Abu Hanifa and even Malik, Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa, the two Imams of the Maliki and Hanafi schools of thought, respectively. They discussed things with him. They learned from him. They transmitted narrations from him. And from his father, the fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir. And some of you may not even be aware of this point, but I'd like to share it with you very briefly. That even the lineage of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, if we go back and you look at the lineage of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, you find that his father is Imam al-Baqir, the fifth Imam. His mother is known as Farwa. Who's Farwa? Farwa is the great-granddaughter of Abu Bakr, from both sides, from her father's side and from her mother's side. She's the wife of the fifth Imam and the mother of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. A point that some of us may not even be aware of. And if we look throughout history, we find that between the various theological and legal schools of thought, there was always debate and discussion. 1,000 years ago in Baghdad, if you were to go into Baghdad, you would see people from various theological backgrounds, from legal backgrounds. Yes, it wasn't all great. They would get into some very heavy debates and polemics, to say the least. But in the end, they actually studied with one another. You have historians who note that major Shi'i scholars who studied with Sunni teachers and vice versa as well. And so this is part of the tradition. It's not difference. Difference is there. It's not that we call for putting aside differences, saying, no, we don't want to have any differences at all, because that's impossible. Again, part of human nature is that we have differences with one another. But that we employ these differences in a manner that is positive. We do not employ these differences in the service of division and tension, promoting hatred and enmity and animosity between one another. That's where the problem lies. And this is, in fact, where the Quran tells us, encourages us to avoid that sort of division. This is part of the tradition. It's up to us, brothers and sisters. I'll end with this. It really, I think, in my humble opinion, I think that our survival as a community is one that depends literally, not just us, but the survival of our children and grandchildren and the coming generations, depends on the extent to which we can come together as people who believe in God, as people of faith, as people who believe in God's message, in God's messengers, to the extent that we can come together and support one another and stand up to our common challenges. We have common challenges, brothers and sisters. If we decide that we want to engage in both inter and intra-faith polemics, and that we want to close the doors to one another, and that we do not want to open up our hearts and minds to one another, we're going nowhere. And the people that will suffer are, in fact, ourselves and our children and our grandchildren. Thus, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and I remind you of this embodiment of mercy that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, brought forth as an embodiment of mercy. And that we too can learn to embody mercy in our interactions with one another. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to open up our hearts and minds so that we can come together and promote peace and tolerance and appreciation of one another. Finally, brothers and sisters, once again, I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight, and we look forward to hearing from our respected guests. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ